Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Very excited to have you back with me again today. My name is Dave Hall. I am your host. If you are looking to get the right education, the right advice, the right tools, the right strategies to help you get through the longest self-imposed period of unemployment most of you are going to face in your lifetime, could last 10 years, could last 20 years, maybe 30 or 40, it's what we call retirement. You are in the right place. If you want to get access to all of our tools and strategies, all you've got to do is go to our website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll be able to see our webinars. You're going to get access to our blog, our live events. You can connect with one of our strategic partners, all kinds of things there to help you get more safely and securely through retirement, to be able to have more peace as you go through those retirement years. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It's something that I've spent a lot of time studying over the last couple of years because I realize it is something that is critical to most retirees and their sources of retirement income, and it is Social Security. In fact, 96% of Americans, they get into retirement, will receive Social Security benefits. There's only 4% that won't. Most of them are at an income level. They choose never to take those benefits. If you know anything about Social Security, you know that it's having some financial issues. Last time the program was changed dramatically was back in 1983. Program was brought about back in 1935 by President Roosevelt as an insurance against living too long, basically, and a way to help eliminate adult poverty. Back in the 1930s, we had a situation where average life expectancy was 62. You couldn't get benefits until age 65. So as a result, wasn't a lot of money being paid out back then. And then from a poverty standpoint, we had over 50% of Americans that were in retirement that were living below the poverty level. Now that has been reduced down to 10% or less. But then in 1983, the program was having issues at that time. It started back in the late 70s. Ronald Reagan brought both sides of the aisle together to fix the program. And then here we go into 2022, and we're starting to have similar issues. In fact, it's something that's been talked about for decades. I know as I've been a CPA for over 25 years that it's been talked about for most of that period of time that people are looking at the program and saying, okay, it's not going to last forever. And so it does need to have some changes made. Today, we're going to be talking about one of those proposals that's out there. It was brought about by Congressman John Larson of Connecticut. First started clear back in 2014. He is over the House Ways and Means Committee that deals with Social Security, brought about what was called the Social Security 2100 Act, clear back then. Since that time, he has adjusted it multiple times, trying to get something that he can get support behind. Last adjustment came out at the end of 2021. It's now called Social Security 2100, a Sacred Trust Act. He's had about 200 Democrats from the House that were behind him, has not got any support from the Republicans, and this bill may be something you haven't even heard anything about. It has not been widely promoted yet, even after he's been promoting this for such a long period of time. And unfortunately, as we go through here, what we're going to find is although it may be getting easier to pass, doesn't mean that it's getting better for you as an American. So we will go through and talk about the benefit increases and then some of the consequences that will come, how some of that's going to be paid for. I will tell you from the surface, if you're in retirement, it would all look like good news. If you're just looking at it for yourself, if you're just looking at it in a vacuum, saying what's being proposed here, you would think this is great news. I'm going to get more money in retirement. But remember, we're talking about a program that is already substantially underfunded, that's going to have bigger issues in the future than it does now because of all the baby boomers that are coming through the system. Last thing, in my opinion, we need to do is continue to add benefits. What we've got to do is help people understand more about financial responsibility, how they can save more, how they can be better prepared. This goes back to the 1970s. We go back to 1974, the IRA was brought about, 1978, 401k was brought about, and this is where we went from an employer-funded retirement, primarily over 50% of Americans had pension plans, to an employee-funded retirement that we have today. And unfortunately, over 50% of Americans have not prepared for this. They have less than $5,000 saved for their retirement. Over 30% of them have nothing saved. And so we've got this crisis. We've got this situation where now people are going into retirement expecting to live off Social Security, to have it be their only source of income, when in reality, Social Security was designed to only cover about 40% of your lifestyle costs in retirement. So our expectation is something that is not reality. But rather than going and educating people and saying, look, you're going to have to start putting money in an IRA. You're going to have to start putting money in a 401k. This is what Social Security pays for. Instead, we come back to the back end and say, oh, let's just continue to give you additional benefits. Even though the program is not working out, let's not handle this with any financial responsibility. And I will tell you, one of my big passions is responsibility. I guess it comes from having seven children that I believe that had I not given them responsibilities, had I not given them consequences for many of the things that they did wrong during their growing up years, they would have been completely different people. I'm very proud and happy of my kids. Those that are growing up and out of the house have shown themselves to be good citizens. Those that are in the house are good people and working very hard to do those things that they should do. But it came with discipline. It came with responsibility. It came with accountability. I can think of many experiences that I had with my kids that times I held them accountable were some of their biggest times of growth. So as we go through here, it's something we need to take into consideration. But let's talk now about some of the proposals that are out there and part of this act. First one would be to bump current and new beneficiaries' payment by 2%. One of the challenges that Social Security has had is, although it is inflation adjusted, it is not necessarily kept up with true inflation. And so what they're proposing is there would be a 2% across the board increase for everyone to help rectify that, to get us a little bit closer. But again, it is going to cost this program that's running out of money more money. The other one would be to provide, number two, protection against inflation. Currently, Social Security is the only source of inflation adjusted income for most retirees. Problem is, as I mentioned before, it's not matching true inflation for retirees. So what they're proposing here is to tie that inflation to the CPIE rather than what they're doing now. That would then allow the retirees to get a bump closer to what inflation is. If we look back to 2021, true inflation was around 7.5%, but yet Social Security's only recipients only received a 5.9% adjustment. Of all the things that are being proposed in here, I will tell you this is the one that does have the most support because it is creating issues for those especially that have longevity, that are living into their 80s and 90s. If that income is not keeping up with inflation and it is their only source of income, their retirement gets worse and worse each year. But this is something that has been proposed and something that has got a lot of support, and it by itself could potentially pass both sides of Congress if it were standalone change, but that is never the case. They always include in these big wish lists things that can be a benefit to one group, things that may be consequence to another, in hopes of being able to pass something that everyone can agree with. Number three, protects low-income workers. And what they're trying to do is change this more into a welfare program. In fact, under their proposal here, what they have now is bend points to where if you are the lowest earner in the country, if you were making minimum wage, maybe $10 an hour through most of your working career, you're going to get about 90% of your pre-retirement benefits. In fact, there was a calculation that was done. Someone had earned $15,080 over a 30-year period of time. They'd be getting about $11,200 under the current law. Under this new proposal, that individual would actually be getting $15,900. They would be getting more than what they were making during their working years. So what it's doing, and one of my fears that they're going to do if they make many of these changes, is change from an insurance program that everyone gets benefits from into a welfare program. And we're seeing more and more of these changes designed to say, look, let's provide benefits to a group of people, make someone else pay for all of these benefits that's not going to be the ones getting the benefit back out. Number four, improves benefits for widows and widowers in two-income households. The way it works now, if you are a married couple and one of you passes away, the surviving spouse is going to be able to get 100% of the highest of the two benefits at the time that individual passed away. So if it's a surviving wife and the husband has passed away and the husband was receiving $3,000, the wife was receiving $2,000 in Social Security benefits, once he passes away, she would be entitled to get the higher of the two. She would get $3,000. This new proposal is that if that were to happen, two-income spouses would be able to keep at least 75% of the benefits that they were receiving prior to this happening. So rather than getting $3,000 in this situation, that surviving spouse would be able to get $3,750. Again, there's a lot to be said here, a lot of argument on both sides. If you're someone who has a two-income spouse household, you're probably for this. You know, and if you're someone on the other side, like I am, where my wife has worked twice as hard as I have, but not outside of the home and does not have a record, so she ends up getting benefits off of my work record, you're on the other side of that. You may be complaining, saying, hey, how come she's getting benefits when she's not paid anything in? There are some injustices that are happening here, not saying which is right or wrong as we look at this one, but this is a proposal to get those who have both worked to get some higher benefits out of the program. Another one is to eliminate the windfall elimination provision and government pension offset. These programs were both designed to punish those who have government pension plans from getting those lower income rate benefits that would come because of the bend points and the way that they're structured. Personally, I am not for this. Again, there are provisions that if someone works in a W-2 job or a Social Security paying job for long enough and earns enough money, this windfall elimination provision would not apply. Now, the government pension offset is a situation where if a spouse, if you end up having a government pension and a spouse is going to be giving you Social Security benefits, you would have those benefits reduced, but they're talking about doing away with these. And again, not sure what the perfect answer is here. If someone's not paid into the program at the high levels that they typically would, if they are getting these government pension plans that are set up and designed to provide retirement income, not sure that getting rid of these is necessarily fair. But again, if you're on that other side of the coin, you may be saying that it's unfair to have your benefits reduced because you did end up paying in the same amount as some lower income person. You should be able to still get that 90% bend point on the initial benefits for the windfall elimination provision. And then understand government pension offset, it's 2/3 reduction of your benefits of whatever that pension amount is. So something you've got to look at there. Again, a big reduction for those who have pension plans and the impact that it could have on the Social Security benefits that they would end up receiving. The sixth one here is to end the 5-month waiting period to receive disability benefits. That what they have currently is you do have to wait for a period of time just to make sure that everything has been set into place, very similar to if you're buying third-party insurance. If you had disability insurance from a third party, you would have a waiting period, talking about getting rid of that. The next one, provide caregiver credits to ensure that caregivers are not penalized for helping take care of family members. So what would happen here, government would actually give them a credit into their Social Security account for the time that they ended up spending taking care of family members. Now, this is a big issue. We're seeing many family members who are having to take care of their aging parents. I had one client, left a very high-paying job, was out of the market for 5 years, now trying to get caught back up and is having a challenge. Not only did he lose 5 years of working experience and having his skill set there, he was not able to contribute into his retirement account during that period of time. But once again, this is additional money that is going to have to be spent out there to be able to cover this benefit. The next one is to extend benefits for students to age 26. Now, if you are someone that is younger and has an older parent that is on Social Security, now if you're under age 18 or under age 19 and a high school student, you are able to get Social Security benefits off of a parent or a deceased parent. What they're proposing here is to take that from 18 up to age 26. Not sure how many people this would really apply to, but they're just trying to ensure that they get those benefits through the college years if they are going to college, not just through those high school years. And the last one we're going to talk about here is increased access to benefits for children who live with grandparents or other relatives. There are some opportunities for a grandparent to be able to provide benefits to a grandchild, but in that situation, a parent either has to be deceased or incarcerated, trying to extend that out for those grandparents that end up being responsible for those grandkids or other relatives to where they could get some additional benefit.
Medicare insurance can be overwhelming, and you may have lots of questions. We have teamed up with Medicare Compare USA to get your questions answered. Visit MedicareCompareUSA.com/retirement risk advisors for complimentary Medicare insurance consultation today.
As we've gone through this list, you've seen that it's a wish list of additional benefits. You may look at it, a social program that's out there. They're just trying to get more and more money into the pockets of people. But again, how do we pay for this? The original proposal, it was to increase taxes on the employer and the employee. That didn't get any attention clear back in 2014. So they've since taken that out. And the only proposal now to help cover the cost of this is to have millionaires and billionaires foot the bill. It's something that President Biden had run on and talked about during his initial promotion to get into the White House. It's not gone anywhere since then, but for anyone making over $400,000, they would be subject to Social Security, that they would be paying that Social Security tax on all their additional earnings. It has gotten a lot of support because it's such a small percentage of America. People have not been against it and putting that burden on someone else. But a couple of things I think we need to understand here is, number one, you know, anytime we're trying to put the burden on someone else's back and they're not a large enough group to vote against it themselves, I think we potentially have some issues there, again, from an accountability standpoint. And if we look at the fact of what this will do, is it now completely turns it into a welfare program, not an insurance program for those who have gotten themselves into retirement, that those benefits that they would be paying in, they would get nothing back from. Currently, it's structured that with the bend points, yes, they would get, the higher income earners will get less of what they paid in, but they're still getting benefit on everything that they earned, where this would take that away. So again, an initial start. The other one was to increase payroll taxes by 1% on employee and the employer, something that I've talked about that I do believe over time does need to happen. In fact, Larry Kotlikoff has said that if you were to increase payroll taxes by 2% on both the employer and the employee, it would fix the program indefinitely. You'd have to just go over 4.1%, so it'd be a little more than 2%. But I do see that as part of the changes that are going to have to happen. But again, what we need to fix the program as it stands, not increase taxes to add additional benefits. We're going to get to a point that the pool is going to run dry. If we're just taking additional taxes to add on more and more and more benefits, and then it comes to a point that the original benefits we couldn't pay for are coming due, what are we going to do once those tax rates are so high we can't go back to the well to be able to cover that? The next item here that they brought up by being able to do all this and have the millionaires and billionaires pay this additional income in, is that what it would do is it would extend the date from the funds running out from 2033 to 2038 so that the government has more time to deal with this. Now, I have a big issue with this. As I mentioned before, they've been talking about Social Security problems for over two decades since I've been in the CPA industry. In fact, over the last decade itself, the Social Security trustee report has said, we've got to fix the program. Well, if we've got government officers that are inside of the government that 23 years, again, the last decade being told this, we've got another 10 to 11 years, I guess now, that they have to fix the program. If that's not enough time, I don't think we have the right politicians in the office. I think it's time to get rid of the politicians, not extend out the program. I don't know what 5 years is going to buy. Now, I have seen pictures of John Larson, and I hope he lives to enjoy a long life, but I'm afraid all he's doing is getting to a point that he's not going to be there. He's going to be out of office, and now he's kicked the can down the road, and someone else is going to have to deal with it rather than him having to take accountability for a program that's not getting fixed, that people are not coming together on, and he's not had the ability to bring people together to fix the original problem besides just trying to add additional problems. So definitely something that should be looked at. One of the other issues here that they do not talk about, they do not mention this inside of their marketing, inside of anything you're going to see, is that this is only a fix for 5 years. This is not a lifetime fix. Well, can you imagine trying to take all these benefits away from someone once you've given those out? It's not like tax strategies that oftentimes happen where we get a tax cut for a period of time and then it expires, which is going to happen with our current tax laws, January 1st, 2026. We're going to go back to the same tax rates we had in 17. Well, taxes are a small portion of our budget, you know, becoming a larger portion, but they're a portion of our budget. When you look at Social Security, all of a sudden you've given someone all these additional increases, you've given them a bunch of additional money, and And then in 5 years, you say, hey, guess what? We're taking it all away. Now that you've got your budgets established, it's not going to happen. So what's going to happen? These would get extended out, which is going to cause a bigger financial issue to the program, which is going to cause a bigger long-term issue for our kids and grandkids. And yeah, I'm going to tell you, guess what? I'm here to defend my kids and grandkids. It's not about me. I'm going to get myself through life as I look at how much life I have left. I'm going to get myself through it, but I don't want my kids and grandkids to be saddled and to be burdened with everything that I end up getting benefits from. I want to be responsible enough that I can give them a better world than the world that I left. And unfortunately, when we look at a lot of what's going on here, that's not what's going to happen. Again, if that happens for a five-year period, all of a sudden expires, you got far greater issues than had you never given out these benefits in the first place. And we see that all the time. You know, far better for someone to not know what's there than to be given something and have it taken away. And the last thing that we're going to talk about here is that they are proposing in here to combine the Social Security and the Disability Trust Funds. Currently, they're separate funds, saying, hey, let's just put them together so we make sure that regardless of whether it's Social Security or disability, everything's going to be paid. We don't have to worry about one fund running out, the other having money. We want to put those together. Maybe some benefits there from consolidating costs. I don't know. Another big problem, that is another big issue here. If all these things were done, I mean, you got a Social Security program that's running on fumes. When you look at the administrative side of this, they don't have enough people now to manage the program. Can you imagine putting all these additional changes into the program and then have to tinker with it every 4 or 5 years? That's been, again, one of the successes of the program. 1935, we had it implemented. 1983, we had the major changes. Now, go back to 2015, we've had some minor changes. Yes, we've had COLA adjustments and those type of things happen. But again, it's not an annual adjustment, which this is leading to be, which is going to create more havoc, more uncertainty, more problems for people's retirements. In fact, one of the other proposals too, they're talking about sending out statements again to people to give them an update on where they are with Social Security. Well, guess what? They tried that and nobody read them. Nobody was paying attention. It was a waste of money. So now that you've got them online, you can get them if you want them, but they're talking of going backwards to where we were. As you can tell, I have a lot of passion about this topic. I am not at all in support of this Social Security 2100, a sacred trust act. I believe it's going to do far more damage in the long term. And just like so many other proposed benefits that are given out there, you give these out, you're not helping those who you're trying to help. You're not helping the poor people as we need to teach them how to fish. We've got to stop giving them a fish. We've got to have more education programs. We've got to start even in the elementary, middle, and high schools. We've got to have college courses to help people better understand finance so they're not getting themselves into position not only here from a Social Security standpoint, but right now we've got an issue with student loans and the student loan forgiveness that's going on out there. Really a slap in the face of all those hardworking people that went out and suffered and paid for their own college that did everything they could. Now, for those who weren't willing to do that, you're just going to go ahead and give all that a write-off. I think it's horrible precedence for where we're heading. I think it takes away our freedoms, definitely hurts us as a country. Well, you've got the full load today with me talking about Social Security. If you would like to learn more, as I mentioned in the beginning, about how to get to a safe and secure retirement, please go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. My name is Dave Hall, and I will see you on next week's show.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday morning, and you don't want to miss it. If you want to continue the conversation from our podcast, join Dave every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time on the Retirement Risk Advisors Facebook page as he answers your retirement questions live.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show is to sign up for more than 15 free CPE retirement webinars. Retirement education, visit retirementriskadvisors.com to sign up for more than 15 free CPE retirement webinars.